autumn and winter are no spring and summer. Spring and summer are growth and color. Autumn and winter are dullness and death. Yet, there would be no spring and summer if not for autumn and winter. Because to have color and growth, first, there has to be dullness and death. A tree, therefore, must decrease before it can increase. For the tree, it is prune or perish. For Christians, it is prune or perish. For congregations, it is prune or perish. What would John do? In John chapter 3, after the disciples of John reported to him of the popularity of Jesus, John said some things. One thing that he said in particular has always caught my attention. And in my opinion, what I'm going to give you from verse 30 ought to summarize the life of every Christian and the life of every congregation. So hearing that Jesus was growing in popularity and that therefore John might decrease in popularity, he had no problem with that. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. If my decreasing makes Jesus increase, then so be it. If we increase in the things that we should not increase in, then Jesus will decrease in us. Therefore, we have no other choice but to submit to pruning. Why do we prune trees? Especially fruit trees. Well, dead or wayward branches have appeared. And if we don't cut them off, it will affect the health of the tree. The fruit production might drop off. Disease might set in and eventually destroy or ruin the tree. Both people and congregations have the same problems. Dead and diseased parts have to be severed. And it is not a pleasant process. Look at the trees of spring and summer and their growth. Then look at the trees of autumn and winter and their pruning. They almost do not look like the same trees. And yet the tree is better later. Pruning is not pretty, but it is healthy. Pruning decreases the tree that it might increase later. People and congregations need decreasing from time to time that they might increase later. We have dead and diseased things in us. And churches sometimes have dead and diseased things in them. And if left in place, that person or that church will die. It is not pretty. But whenever dead and diseased people leave a congregation or are disciplined, sometimes we object to it and it's a painful process, but the church in the long run is better. When we prune ourselves, it is painful, but it is fruitful. therefore, decrease to increase. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible even argues that without pruning in our lives, we become illegitimate children. So the Hebrew writer argues here that God prunes us, so to speak. Here, the Hebrew writer quoted from Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12, which Caleb read just a moment ago. But I have always found it to be fascinating that when the writer of the book of Hebrews quoted from Proverbs 3, he actually augmented Solomon's terminology. He used even harsher terminology than what Solomon did originally. Listen to the work of our loving Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. And then here's where he quotes Proverbs 3. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and, get this word, scourges. Every son whom He receives. Then He continues to comment Himself. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Scourging. When people in the Roman Empire heard that word, they thought of some pretty severe treatment. And sometimes what we experience in life is pretty severe, is it not? How can God let those things go on? Well, I'll tell you something. When you prune, you're cutting off something. And that doesn't always feel good. Scourging is severe. But God does it, and He expects us to do it. To ourselves and to our home congregation. Chastening prunes away the bad stuff. We prune away the bad stuff that growth may begin. I am not going to grow as a Christian unless I prune some things out of my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, after Paul heard that the church at Corinth was boasting that they actually were allowing an immoral member to be in their congregation without them doing anything about it, Paul commanded them to cut off. He commanded them to cut off that member from the body of Christ. The whole chapter is about this, but listen especially to verses 4 through 7. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Did you hear Paul speaking there carefully? His words were strong. We decrease the church when we deliver a soul to Satan. But we do that for two reasons. First, for the benefit of the diseased branch. Second, we do it to keep it from spreading throughout the church. Again, listen to Paul's language. He's harsh. He said, deliver such a person to Satan. And we look at ourselves as being about trying to save people from Satan. But sometimes to save people from Satan, we have to deliver them to Satan. He said to purge out that old leaven. Take it out and get rid of it. And then as you continue reading, you come down to verses 12 and 13. He actually says that in the church we judge. You know, I know a lot of times people say, well, we're not supposed to judge. Well, right there in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13, Paul says we are supposed to judge within the church. And then he ended that chapter by saying, put away from yourselves that evil member. It's harsh language, and it sounds like harsh, actions. And I suppose it is, both of those, words and actions, but it has to be done, just like pruning a tree. Interestingly, it brought back that member of the church who had been wayward. It saved his soul from the second letter. We learned that. And it also kept the immorality from spreading throughout the church. So it served its purpose. But of course, I think like David seeks to do in the book of Psalms, it is always better if we prune ourselves rather than having the congregation or the public or whatever it is do it for us. Self-pruning is private and so is less painful. Congregational pruning is public and so is very painful. Listen to David in Psalm 51, first of all, verse 7. He prayed to God, purge me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then how about Psalm 139? Most of us know this psalm because it teaches about the omniscience and omnipresence of God. That He knows everything, I think like the first six verses or so, and He's present everywhere, the following verses. Okay, so He knows everything and He's present everywhere. What does that mean for me? David makes the application in the last two verses of that psalm. Here is why I want God to help me purge myself or prune myself. Psalm 23, or 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. God, You're the one who knows everything. I seek to prune myself daily, but You know me better than I know myself. Is there something? Is there a branch? Is there a diseased part that I haven't cut away yet? Look at me and help me. Because David didn't want to suffer the consequences if he let something go on that he shouldn't have let go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul commanded us to see if we need to do some decreasing. I think what David did there in the Psalms, Paul now shows us we need to do the same thing here in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. If we don't do it, Jesus may disqualify us. If we do not cut off the diseased part, God will cut us off. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Spend, therefore, time daily in God's pruning shears, otherwise known as the Bible. If you submit to every word of Scripture, you will see whether you're in the faith or not. However, we're self-biased. So what we also need to do is submit ourselves to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. It is also good for us to submit ourselves to people who will tell us the truth about ourselves, telling us our good points and our bad points. I have some people that I know I can go to, and they just absolutely refuse to tell me my bad points. And I wish they would, because I love them. And you know what? The people I'm thinking of right now, I've told them what their bad points are, and they won't return it. Come on, out of vengeance, at least come after me. You know, I mean, I know I've got some parts that need to be cut off. And there's some people who will tell me what I need to hear. And you know, I love those people. I know they're not trying to hurt me. They want to make me better. And that's what I want. I want to be productive. And I'm sure you do too. That's why you're here tonight. Jesus explained, as found in John chapter 15, that our Father is a vine dresser. And our Father does what a vine dresser is supposed to do. He cuts off problem branches and he prunes the productive ones. Now listen to why Jesus said his Father does these things. It hurts, but that's not his purpose. He's not trying to hurt us. He has our good in mind. John 15, 1 and 2. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Why does a farmer plant a vineyard or an orchard? Is it because he wants something that looks beautiful? Is it because he loves to do hard work? Well, you know, a vineyard or orchard is beautiful, and the farmer probably does like the hard work, or he doesn't mind it, but what he wants is fruit. And why does he want fruit? He wants a profit. God has a vine. Jesus is that vine, and we are branches on the vine. Why does he have a vine? He wants fruit, that he may gain profit from it, because he doesn't want Satan to have the profit. Isaiah chapter 5 comes right out and tells us why God wants a vineyard. He speaks here first of ancient Israel, but look at the work he performs and what he expects from it. And look at the work he performs, and I think what he says here of Israel, what John 15 just showed us, we can say, well, Isaiah 5 would also apply to the church. Verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 5. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And then in verses 3 through 7, the prophet went on to show what God would do to Israel for not bearing the right kind of fruit. And they didn't bear the right kind of fruit because they refused to submit to God's pruning. He went on to say that since they refused to be pruned and thus produced wild grapes instead of good grapes, he was going to tear out that vineyard. He would just tear it up. Back to the New Testament. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 shows a grower at work. And like the grower in this parable, watch a farmer tenderly take care of his orchard or his vineyard. And yet when problems arise, he does what he can to rescue that tree or vine. Otherwise, he cuts it down and burns it. He gets rid of it. John 13, 6 through 9, or excuse me, Luke 13, 6 through 9. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? In other words, I can put another tree there that'll give me the fruit I want." Verse 8. But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." This parable illustrated what God does and how He works with us both individually and congregationally. And I think the message that Jesus was giving us is that therefore do something before He does. Do something before He does. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 preach the same thing. What Jesus said, and I just picked the first church there, the Ephesian church in Revelation 2. What Jesus said to this church typifies what He said to the majority of the churches. He works with people, and He works with congregations, even as the keeper of the vineyard and the owner of the vineyard did in the parable in Luke 13. But Jesus will also do as the keeper of the vineyard told the owner of the vineyard what to do if the tree failed to produce. And that is to cut it down and burn it. Revelation 2:5. Jesus said to that church, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else." And you don't want to hear the Lord saying to you, "or else." "Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Isaiah, taking that imagery of you don't want to hear God say, "or else He'll do this," work on that same thought in Isaiah 59. There is a sight that is pictured here that we never want to see. There is something here about God that we never want to see. We know God overflows with compassion and mercy. Yet if we do not prune ourselves, the prophet pictured God doing something that, again, we don't ever want to see Him doing. After the prophet showed us the situation in Israel in the first 15 and a half verses. How there was crime and injustice and all kinds of bad things going on, and no one was doing anything about it, and no one was pruning himself. Here's what God said He would do, starting with the second half of verse 15. "Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no justice." He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, His own arm brought salvation for Him, and His own righteousness, it sustained Him. For He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on His head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. If you see the Lord putting on his battle armor, you don't want to see him looking at you. Kind of like, I'm putting on this battle armor, and I intend to come after you. That's what he's showing here. You don't want to see that. We don't want to let it to get to that point. We want to be on the same side as he. Because no one wins against God when he wears his armor. But the point of all these scriptures, I believe, is this. Do not wait for that day to arrive. Do something about your life now. Cut off the disease parts. It is better to enter heaven missing something than to enter hell with everything in place. And if a congregation has to do pruning, support it. We all thrive when our congregation is healthy. So what do you need? Maybe you've done some pruning and it hurts and you need some healing. But sometimes a wound needs some help in the healing, doesn't it? We need to put things on it to help the healing process. And if you've been pruned by someone else, or you've done it to yourself, or even God's done it, and you need us to pray for you that healing might take place, oh brother, oh sister, we want to do that. We want to help you to heal so that you can be a fruitful branch on the vine, Jesus. Do you have a need? Please come forward right now as we stand and sing.